The suggestion of the company therapist who was in employee assistance programs because they were getting ready to drop me from the insurance because I was too obese. And they sent me to her because she was going to help me out. So she said to me, "Do you think you have a problem?" "No. I just like to eat." She says, "Okay, what do you see yourself as?" "Oh, I'm a father, a good worker, then I was married, then husband." "Well, yes, but do you think your body size is a problem?" Now, that is really weird questions to ask because I always saw myself from the neck up, never from the neck down. Top weight of 400 pounds, okay? Size 58 waist throughout my childhood. Throughout my childhood, I never saw what it was to be normal. I was a chubby kid that kids would chase and beat up because I was fatty, 2x4, can't get through the bathroom door, blah, 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 or whatever it was called. And to boot, I lived with my grandmother who came from a mentality that a fat kid is a healthy kid. She comes from that era. And so she showed her love with food, and it was all that. So she wanted to love me. And she did. The thing about that was, she saw me getting bigger and more lovable, and the people out there started seeing me differently. I was the last one picked for a team, for baseball or volleyball or whatever we were going to do. I was never picked to go do things with others, you know. "Well, Daniel's like, what do we do with him?" "Okay, I'll take him." "Yay, thank you," you know. So she would buy me, my grandmother would buy me quarter of pants. So the kids love to chase me because my fat thighs would rub together. And you hear this, and they love to hear that. Just kick my butt. So I would get home, and I would run in screaming and out of breath because these kids want to beat me up. And I would go to my grandma, and she said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, these kids want to beat me up. Why do they want to beat you up?" "Because I'm fat." And this is her wisdom that came out of her. She said, "Tell them that at least you don't drink black coffee only." So I held on to that little gold nugget. And the following afternoon, when we were ready to come home, the kids and kids was asked, the little assholes, little Australian orthodontists, decided to take me again. And they said, "You're a fatso, you're fat, you're pig, blah, blah, blah." And I turned around and I said, "Well, at least I don't drink black coffee." And they stood there and went, "They told me to go." So anyway, so grandmother's philosophy didn't work. So fast forward, I tried many attempts, and I'm back to this therapist. And my job is at stake, and I have four kids, or we have four kids at home, and I still couldn't see it. What do you mean I'm fat? See, throughout trauma, there comes a level of denial. We have to. You know, if it wasn't for drugs and alcohol and food, I would have put a bullet through my head. They worked. They really did. So when I said I love food, I love food. The problem is I was eating for the wrong reasons, and I didn't know it. I just ate. She sends me to Overeaters Anonymous. This pretty brunette girl sends me, really gorgeous girl, sends me to Overeaters. "Are you going to be there?" She says, "I may." "I'll be there." I got there. She wasn't there. But there was this tiny little woman at the end speaking, much like here. She was tiny and small. And all of a sudden, somebody passed out, and I'm sorry, I was going to bring a picture, and I forgot to bring it. And they handed me her picture, a Polaroid. "So what's this?" "So that's her." "That's her? No way. She was the same height, same diameter. It was amazing." supposed, no, wait, this cannot be so. That is so. It is. And I went up to her and says, I saw your picture. That's amazing. How did you do it? You know, what magical food are you eating? because I always dieted for like 5 minutes and then get on the scale and say, okay, I lost all the weight. And somehow it didn't work. So I get frustrated. I'm glad I saw that little child there because I've got to keep my potty mouth quiet. I have a very bad potty mouth. Parent defects. I think one of them said the spiritual arts would be potty mouth. So I excel in that. But back to the story. So she says, you know, I worked the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous and I surrendered food. What the heck can that, how do you surrender pup and taco? That's a long decoder. That is not good. You know, I just surrender. For the new one, it's an old place that used to sell tacos and puppets. For the Catholic people right now going, so how do you do that? All I know is that I go on a diet, and I white knuckle it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and then my head says, you know what, maybe that's enough, and let's get back on the scale. You improve, and the damn scale hasn't moved. You know what, screw it, this diet doesn't work. Let's do it. So I found one that really worked for me for a while. It was called the Stewart's Diet. It was basically you make this concoction of onion soup. And you drink that all the time. Onions and cabbage, I don't know what I see. But you have 1 day of all fruit, 1 day of all vegetables, and soup. And then 1 day of all meat. It was great. I just couldn't get past the day of the meat. I stayed there, meat after meat after meat after meat. Yeah, I just couldn't get past. It saw it worked kind of, but didn't work because I couldn't get past. So the problem here was I answered my feelings with food, and I didn't know. But you know what? Like I've said before, you can't get arrested for driving under the influence of burritos. That's cool.
That's true.
You know? They're not gonna put you in a psychiatric ward for liking to eat Hostess pies. They won't do that. But your body will tell you, hey, it's time to cash the chips. See? My body was saying, hey, we can't do this shit anymore. And my head says, yes, I can. And like the alcoholic that can stand here and tell you, listen, every time I drink, I get a DUI, I crash the car, I beat my wife, I run the bank account dry, I do all these crazy things with my family, I find myself in an institution, I do all those things, I know I shouldn't drink. I down there and say, you're right, don't drink. But down the line, my head says, you know what, let's have one more drink. It's not that bad, it's just a little drink. Same thing here. You have high blood pressure, diabetes type 2, you're obese, can't fit in a plane, you can't fly in a plane, you can't go to anybody else's place to buy clothes except the big, tall places, and they're never tall people, only big people there. And you're paying all this money, you're dying from the inside out, you have a history of obesity, and you say, you know what, Dan, you're right. I shouldn't do that. Makes good sense. Makes darn good sense. Let's do that. And then my head says, it's just a piece of pie. Sorry, it's a little cookie. I mean, nobody ever died of eating a bag of chips. Or here's the other one. I go to AA and I say, I'm powerless over crunchy foods. And they look at me. What's wrong with you? You're a nut job or what? Well, yes, I am. But you see the craziness? It's right up there with I cross the street. Let me ask you guys, and stay with me. Don't go anywhere. Okay? Stay with me. And the reason I say that is because we're time travelers. We like to go in the past and in the future, and we're not here. We're thinking what we've got to do, when's it going to show up. You know, they get hot in here. Why don't they have Diet Coke? Damn it, what's wrong with these people? Diet Pepsi, nobody drinks that stuff on purpose. You know, stay with me. Okay, and that's all I ask, is you stay with me, because just perhaps, what you're going to hear is nothing new, but it's going to finally click in. See, what I am telling you is nothing new. It's been said for many, many, many years. It's just the time is, are you ready now to hear it? See. So the jaywalker, I go up to you and I say, Danae, I hope that's the right name, because my glass kind of, okay, Danae. Danae, I just crossed the street and I jaywalk and I get hit by a car. What would you tell me?
Don't do that.
That's what the good book says. And Jamie, you know what? On the second day, I just crossed, jaywalked the street, and I got hit by a car. What would you tell me then?
Don't do it.
That's good sense. And Loretta, you know, on the third day, I have crossed that street, I got hit again. What would you tell me? Don't do it. Jocelyn, this is my fourth day that I keep jaywalking, I keep hit by a car. What would you say?
Stop!
Stop it. Makes sense, right? And I would go to Marcia, this is my fifth day, man. I've been jaywalking, I keep getting hit by a car. What would you say?
You're going to break your back.
You're going to make yourself crazy. You're going to kill yourself. Susan, this is my sixth day that I've been crossing that street, and I keep jaywalking, I get hit by a car. What would you tell me?
You keep doing the same thing and expecting a different answer, we're not getting anywhere.
Thank you, Susan. See, all the logic is there. Don't do it. Use the crosswalk. Wait for the light. Wait for the car to come. That makes perfectly good sense. The problem is I have an insanity. They said, let's do it again. That's the compulsive overeater. That's the addict. That's the one the compulsion to do it again across that street. It's the compulsion to reach for that food that I said I wouldn't do it again. See what I mean? How do I handle that? How do I stop that compulsion from hitting me again? Out of all my programs that I belong with, this one scares me the most. Mm-hmm. The other ones, I don't give a shit. Excuse me. Little kid. Oh, it's that little kid. Oh, I'm crying out loud. You know how many minutes I wasted that cussing? This is not good. All right. That was a little kid. Okay, now I got gutter mouth syndrome going on now. Okay, good. Let me talk to you about willingness. Where's that? Okay, willingness. I desire a cheeseburger. And the only way I can get there is I'm willing to give him the car to go get it. Okay? It's perfectly good sense. I desire a home. The only way I'm going to go is if I go shopping for homes and I finally make the equilibrium. Does that make sense? There's something in our program that says that keep it simple. It's a simple program with crazy people in it. And that's not fun. Something has a sense of humor there. How in the hell did they make a simple program and put crazy people in it? That is not good. We've got people that obsess over everything. Okay, so being willingness. Okay, so I can be willing to work this program and see the results. I'll see the results. Because here's it. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our program. Those who do not recover. Now let's talk a little bit about recovery. Oh, recovery. We hear it all the time. Recovery. What the hell is recovery? Since you're not kidding anymore. Recovery. What are you getting back? That's what I want to know. What have you lost that you need to recover again? A fat kid all his life, he doesn't know any better. What can you give me that I want? I don't know what I've lost. So what are you telling me that I'm going to recover? I don't know. How long? Okay. So this is the thing that we need to see. Because what the heck are you going to recover that you've lost? Well, we said, you're going to get sober. You can get abstinent. But what does that mean to me? And that's been the biggest dilemma for most of us. They've suffered with relapse. And here's the thing. The reason most of us rarely recover. Oh, by the way, my mom died of this disease, obesity. She died at 48 years old. I'm 55, almost 56 years old. I've outlived her. She died of a massive heart attack. And she wanted to lose weight. And everybody would say, your mom is such a happy person. Well, theoretically. because she was really angry. You see, when we carry a lot, there's a lot that's been hurt. The more we hurt, the more we build up. We got to defend ourselves. A lot of us have been sexually abused. I was sexually abused as a child by my father. And I carried a lot of shame. And I wasn't going to go through that again. And I was scared to death that this would happen to me. So every time I saw him, I wanted to run the other way. And then my grandmother says, here, have something to eat. Well, I feel like shit because he's coming. Yeah, let me get something to eat. See the connection? And that's how I lived. Fear, scared, always scared. Always scared. Came the day that I was forced to go live with him. Oh my God, 11 years old, what the hell was I thinking? And he was the type of man who was raised by an alcoholic grandfather, my grandfather, his father. But he didn't drink. But he was a rageaholic. You didn't know if he was going to hug you or slap you. So it was a flip of the coin. And I was scared to death of him. So then this disease called obesity hit in. Now, not only am I scared of him and men, I'm scared that I have a disease now, and I don't know what to do with it. And I tried pills. I tried doing speed. You know, in those days, they'd give you speed. All I did was eat faster. and I go sat on the scale, and the doctor says, well, yeah, well, you gained 5 pounds. I said, I don't know. I'm taking the medicine. Yeah. It just didn't work. She says, well, try drinking a lot of water before you do. I love doctors. They're so cool. Try. Little did I know they're dealing with an addict whose manipulation and story is so well rehearsed that we can have therapists and doctors at our knees. That's how good we are. So I went to live with that man, and I would get beat. Now, there's a difference between being rebellious and immature. Things that parents don't know. And he beat me for both. Whether I didn't know how to use a cracking wrench, because he loved to work on cars, I didn't care to smell fritting oil. But he loved to do that, and since I was supposed to help him, I was a lousy assistant, so I could beat him for both. Because I didn't know what the difference between a flat screwdriver and a Phillips screwdriver was. I don't know. Bad grades, you get beaten. Yeah. Finally ran away. And I came to live with my mom, who was obese. And she had a problem with her love for herself, and it was not manifested by the men she chose, which were all alcoholics and abusers. And I'm 13, 14 years old, looking at this woman who was supposed to be my mom, sleeping with these guys who are a bunch of drunks. And the pattern repeats itself. Goes again. So when you tell me that I want to recover, what am I supposed to recover for? To what? To the days when I used to watch Mighty Mouse? You know? Sheriff John? Is that what you're telling me? Boy, I'm really dating myself. But anyway. Is that what you're offering me? For there's one who has all power, that's one is God, may you find him now, it's been said. I don't know about that one. You gotta understand, when you have an abusive parent, most likely your God is that abusive parent. So the one son says, you need to get rid of this father, your God. I've come from a long line of religious. I became this other type of believer, extremist. You remember, we never do things just half-assed. We go either all the way or nothing. You know what I mean? There's like amazing half measures that are not applied to us in this case. You know, if this says like this will feed two, well, you know, that's not true. We'll buy more just in case. I remember I ate a whole cake and it says feeds four. I just ate a whole fucking cake. So, and how was I? Okay, so. The thing what I want you to understand, I had to get rid of God because it was my father.
I was always waiting for the next shoe to drop. And that was scary. And I had to say, screw you, I don't need you anymore. I don't care if you're manifested as a virgin, as a saint, as Jesus, I don't care who you are, I don't want you in my life. Now, I was teaching not too long in a convention, and I went around and I asked simple questions, and I'm going to do that right now real quick. If you have the opportunity to create a God that will help you be willing to do a change, what would you want in that God, user?
Love.
Okay. So that's what I want. I want God to be love. And if I asked you, young lady, what would you want in God?
I just want, I guess, love.
Love, huh? Okay. Yeah. Makes perfect good sense. What would you want in a God?
Unconditional.
Accept me for what I am. Yeah. So basically, I got all those answers until one lady said to me, I want my God to be a happy God. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. I'd never heard that. Happy God. Are you kidding? When I'd wake up in the morning and I know that my father hadn't woken up, I was scared to death because I knew as soon as he got up, shit was going to start happening, man. And I was scared. And that's the way every morning I woke up, I was scared to death because I knew God was going to punish me for the shit that I've done before. Okay? So there's a reason I'm big. There's a reason I'm huge. I'm scared to death, man. I have to protect myself. You are never going to get to my core again. You will never hurt me then. And food will protect me. The bigger I am, the scared I was. So the woman says, happy God. I said, holy cow, happy God. That makes sense. Happy God. Do I want my God like to be like that? Buster Keaton, I told my sponsor, well, you could be like Buster Keaton. How about Laurel and Hardy? You You may want to stick with one. Okay, well, how about Abbott and Costello? Once again, that's true. Try to stay with one. Now, well, how about Don Rickles, right? They look too sarcastic, man. But you know what? Happy Wallet, man. I'm like, well, I'm just going down the list, you know? Heckle and Jekyll, I don't know. But that's the thing. I had to do the most outrageous, blasphemous thing that I could ever do was to say, I don't want you, Jesus. I've had enough of you. I've had enough of you. So-called Judeo-Christian God. The creator of all this crap. Where were you when I was getting molested? Where were you when I was getting hurt? Where were you when my mom died? So I don't want goddamn thing to do with you. So, I had to do that. So I'll tell you one thing. There's one who has all power. And if I flip on the switch and nothing turns on, maybe there just ain't no power there. You know what I mean? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Light's on? No, still dark. Try it again. It's so dark. If you've been in this program all these years and you don't got the willing, it's time for you to follow your God. Oh my God, what are you talking to? You kid, I got to go to have an exorcism now, Daniel. What's wrong with you? I need more therapy. I love therapy. After many years of therapy, all you have is a well-defined problem. No solution. And it's still issues with my mom. Issues with my dad. I love my therapist. How long have you been a therapist? 15 years. You're still working on your mom? That makes sense. I'm sorry for the therapists that are here, but I believe in solutions. Focus on the solution gets bigger. Focus on the problem gets bigger. It's up to you. They both take the same effort. But since we're born into negativity, guess where we go? Focus on the problem. If I only all lost all this weight, I wouldn't have any problems. Life would be fine. That's not true. Boy, you lose weight, you become a nut job. Because now you don't have... Well, it's right up there. If you do surgery on me, and I have this huge scar and it's a wound,
and you take away my medication, what do you got? You got a hurting person. I cope with life through excessive food. This is why I'm big. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that. More calories. You know, I used to love to eat. My fries were like this. Oh, this is bizarre. My fries were like, I would get off of work, go home, order a huge pizza, buy a big bottle of Diet Coke, because Diet Coke would wash away all the calories, and finish the pizza. And I ran a movie, and I remember, I never saw the movie. I just packed up. That was my Friday. That is so cool. So Monday I show up. How was your weekend? Oh, it was great, dude. I had a good time. What'd you do? I don't remember. So rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not, cannot, will not completely give themselves to the simple program. Simple. Simple. You put down the food. You start feeling the feelings. You start working the steps. Number one, I admitted I am powerless over food and that my life has become unmanageable. Now that's a hard one because I don't want to be powerless. That would be wrong. You nuts. If I become powerless, guess what happens? I get hurt again. See, my dad comes back. He starts to defeat me. I can't do that. No, don't take food away. I'll read your literature. I'll go to your meetings. I'll work your steps, but don't take the damn food away. That's not protection. Here's how I sat down when I sat in those days. I would sit with tugging at my shirt. Don't touch my body. Keep it away. Keep it away. My inner thighs, there were holes that I used to buy patches and iron. This disease is the most shameful disease that I can tell you. I would much rather be known for being an alcoholic and an addict than a compulsive or a bulimic. Or an anorexic. Our disease is on the outside. Those guys, the addicts and the alcoholic, they have it on the inside. See what I mean? They have it on the outside. And it's visible. So you take away the very thing that helps me forget about that crap. It comes up. It comes up. I've been pushing it down all these years with food. Now it starts coming up. What do I do? I use the tool. One of them is a phone. In those days, we didn't have cell phones. We had phone booths. Because it was supposed to be private. When you talked on the phone, you didn't look like an idiot standing in the aisle talking to yourself. So I was over there at Long's Drugstore at Santa Barbara, and I was looking for a gift card or some sort of greeting card, and the woman next to me says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And I looked at her and said, excuse me? And she says, well, I just wouldn't do that. I said, excuse me. She says, I'm on the phone. She was on the phone. I thought you were talking to me. We've become a society of nuts. It's amazing. It's normal to talk to yourself now because you're on the phone. So I look at homeless people talking to themselves. Hey, he's on the phone. So cool. He's got Sprint like I do. You got all the minutes? So listen, let's get back to this God thing. When the woman said to me, I want a happy God, I said, is that possible? Is that possible? Is it possible to erase all the damages of my past? And really believe that there's an all-creator, all-good, happy God. My grandmother, who was instrumental in my obesity, only because she fed me, and I guess a lot of you guys may have pets that are overweight. Don't blame the pet. You're the compulsive overfeeder. Yeah. Oh, my cat is fat. Well, of course you're giving it food. It wouldn't eat. It doesn't have thumbs to open up the cat. You know what I mean? You can't open up the fridge. You're the one feeding the damn thing. Oh, but it's so big. Well, stop feeding the damn thing. I love it. I love pet owners. I mean, God bless you guys. I love animals, but the only animals I like to find. They're really delicious. But anyway, that's a different story. So, God, my problem with God was I was resenting them for what was crap that happened in the past, and I was afraid was coming down the pike. That's what happened. So this is where it had to change. I had to be willing to adopt the new God. Ooh, that's hard.
But I know I had, there had to be some characteristics that man. That I would never be hurt again. That I would never be sexually abused again. And I'm willing to trust you because I know you're a happy God. So I said, God, please show me an example of that happy God. Looking everywhere. Trying this. Trying that. Trying this. And here's what happened. That little grandmother of mine, she died at the age of 92. She was my friend the whole time. She loved me whether I was small, I was fat, whether I was drugging, whether I was drinking, whether I was being an asshole. She loved me anyway. And that was my example of my all-loving, happy God. Every time she sees this, I'm so happy. She always loved me. And I went to go live with her after my first divorce. And she started to lose her hearing. So, she, by then my grandfather passed away. And I go to the meetings on the west side in L.A. And I come home east L.A. to her at like 11 o'clock. Well, she can't hear it, and I'm knocking on the door because she locked the freaking screen again. And I got the key, but I can't get it because the damn screen door is locked. And I'm knocking. Now, here's this big guy trying to jump over the fence, go knock on her window. So she'll let me in. So she lets me in. I didn't hear you. I said, I know. I've been knocking on the damn door for a half hour now. So the following morning, she gets up and she makes me breakfast. She always made me breakfast. A little oatmeal. I said, surely there must be more. You're like, who are you feeding? An anorexic? I don't know. So she gets up, she says, you know, I dreamt of your grandfather. Yeah? And what did he do? He said, he came in the middle of the night, and in the front door while I was in the kitchen, he used his pencil, and tapped on the door. And I had to go open the door. I said, you heard my grandfather tap with a pencil? You didn't hear me last night? That's the type of person that I am. It's all about me. I didn't hear her story. See what I mean? She passed away. She got a urinary tract infection. She passed out in her apartment alone for 2 days. Her social worker found her. And then she went to go live in a homeless hospital. And I, at that time, hurt my back. I ruptured some discs. And I was not able to drive from West LA to East LA to go visit her, but I would. And I'd go there with so much pain, but I wanted to be with her. Because I go to my sponsor and say, she's dying on me. What am I going to do, man? She's got lung cancer. What do I do? She's dying. And the only thing in my life that's ever loved me is dying. What do I do? And this is what he said. You take advantage of being with her as much as you can. You talk to her. You give her back what she gave to you. And every time she would see me, she would always smile. And she'd love me, and slowly but surely she becomes more incoherent. Right? So one day, the nurse says, you know, I don't think she's going to make it. Okay, got it. So I came back, and I went up to her, and she had her eyes closed. And I said to her, I said, Mama, I said, I know you love me. And I love you. And I know you'll always be with me. And you can go now. I'll be okay. And a little tear came out of her eye as she graduated that night. Mm-hmm. See, she loved me every time she saw me. She loved me today. And that's where we talk about living in the present. God loves me today in the present. He doesn't love me tomorrow or yesterday. He loves me today. My God is a happy God, and His name is reality. The present. See what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? It's today, man. If you were to die today, it's as best as it got. And God made a beautiful day for you. What did you do with it? And if he talks to me, well, what'd you do with it, Dan? Well, surely you could have done better. I mean, look at this crappy day you're getting. I'm fat. I don't know. Yeah, but didn't you appreciate people who love you and encourage you? Well, yeah, but you know, surely you could have sent someone better. I'm self-centered. I'm self-centered with a happy God. Now how do I do that? So I start changing. How much time have I got? Oh man. I'll go anywhere to hear myself talk. So anyway, so listen to this. My God is named Reality for today. All He does is He gives me this day. When I wake up, He's already put a path with me, and it's 12 hours. Tonight, my day ends at midnight. And whatever happens today, that's what's supposed to happen. Walk it. So, I teach classes at 5 o'clock on Mondays at that time, and 5:15 the class starts. So I always ran over to Long's drugstore to get myself a drink, because I do have a drinking problem. I got myself a Diet Coke. And I'm standing in line, and I don't know, excuse me, no offense to anyone, but Santa Barbara has a damn city ordinance that lets out all the elderly people at 5 o'clock into that damn Long's, and they're all in line with no hearing, walkers, one to talk, and one coupon to change. And I got to hurry up and do my class. And I'm standing there, all these freaking elderly people are there, and I'm like, damn it. And I look at the cashier. This is it. 3 weeks in a row, man. I call my sponsor. Guy, I can't believe what's going on. The freaking Santa Barbara, all these freaking hippies, man, live here. They have an ordinance. They let go of all the elderly. How long have you been doing this, Dan? For 3 weeks. You ever thought of buying a case and keeping it in your office? Never looked at it that way, Don. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, apparently. Now, guess who has a case of soda in his office and doesn't have problems with elderly? I talk to people. That's a tool. I don't go into my brain. God talks to you. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. When I leave a meeting, I always feel a little more safe. In fact, you are part of my higher power. Ready? It's today. I don't want to get into theology, doctrinal beliefs. I just want a higher power that really works. And for today, my higher power is happy, says it's going to be okay. It'll be fine. You don't understand. It's going to be fine. I don't even agree with it. Just, you know, it's all about me. Remember, I'm afraid either what I have is going to be taken away or I'm not going to get what I want. Romances and finances, it's been said. That's our issues. I want to be willing. Willing to do a change. I may not know what recovery looks like because I feel like this all my life. But I'm willing to trust this higher power who's happy and has best interest in me. That's beautiful. Now, if we take it into that context and we go back to how it works, rarely have we seen a person fail who's certainly following a path, right? So, for it says, for that, so may you find him now. It doesn't say don't find him tomorrow. Find him now. And that's the promise that this program has. That you will have a higher power. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps. See me? So when I did the third step, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to a happy God, over to a caring God, over to a God that says, I'll promise to be with you whatever you're doing. Not only that, I'll send people around you to help to be with you. That's pretty cool. I can do that. Just for today, Dan. Just for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. I got your back covered today. Just for today, stick to your food plan. Just for today, don't hurt yourself with food. Forget about tomorrow. Just for today, don't hurt yourself. Because I love you. I would never hurt myself in front of my grandmother. And I don't hurt myself today. Just for today. Keep out of people's businesses. Stop giving advice. you don't understand. It's going to be boring then. I love drama chaos in my life. Yes, Dan, but this is a better way to live. This is a better way to live. Church, that prayer says, God, I offer myself to thee, to do with, to build with me, to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. That victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Check this out. Of the power, thy love, and thy way of life. The road gets narrower. And his way of life is a lot narrower. Now the cool part is, you get a bigger life. Remember? As an obese person, life is very small. It's all around food. For when I'm going to eat again. Yeah. It's like that. Back and forth. Food. Back up. Yeah. Always tired. I'm tired. Yes, I know you're tired. I go to my spouse. How you doing? Oh, I'm tired. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay. When they say, how you doing? Tired. Oh, cool. Dan, are you tired? Oh, yes, I am tired. He says, you think you've been digging ditches all day long, Dan? You're sitting on the damn computer? What am I tired of? I'm tired of thinking. I think too much. I'm thinking of the past and I'm thinking of the future. I visit the depression in the past and I go to the anxiety where it's in the future where it's waiting for me. I'm too busy not enjoying today. Dan, what have you done good for yourself today? I don't know. I'm too busy worrying about crap. I don't have time for that. He says, well, tell me, what are you worried about? He says, well, you know, I don't have a job right now. I'm really having a hell time. He says, nah, why don't you put it away? Forget about it for the week and call me on Monday. Call you on Monday? I'll forget about it then. Put this nicely. Forget about it. How important is it? Tell me, say, forget about it. Forget about it. You know what I mean? Everything is so important so I can have an excuse to overeat again. Everything's an excuse. Yeah, you don't understand. She made that pie for me. How am I going to say no to her? Well, you see, I don't want it. No, thank you. Or, here, let me give it to a homeless person. Yes, there is more to life than food. There really is. There's the ability to walk in society and not be singled out. There's an ability to walk in society and people don't look in disgust. Do you know that fat people don't look very, very happy when they're eating? And people around them don't like to see that either. It's really incredible. They would look at me and go, oh, he's eating shit. And, you know, I used to love to go to the buffets. Because I wasn't willing to feel. I don't want to feel anymore. I'm not willing. You know what I mean? I don't want to feel. You don't understand. There's a lot of shit that happened to me. Well, we have to go back. I admit it, I am powerless. I cease fighting. This is the cards that have been dealt to me. Stop sending them back. Use what you've been given. Use any avenue to help with the change. Don't wait for God to tell you, you died in the flood. Yeah, God, what could you do? Well, I sent you a canoe. I sent you a life raft. I sent a helicopter. You still were waiting for me. What's wrong with you? If you die today, this is as good as it got. Now, my problem was, I didn't think I have a disease. That's all my head said. I just need to control my food. See, this is all I have. I just got to control it again. And I read the acceptance chapter of Dr. Paul. And acceptance is the key to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed to some person, place, or thing, it is not agreeing with me. Doesn't go my script. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Until I accept my compulsive overeating that I have a disease, I will never stay abstinent. I will play around with food, play around again, and because I don't think it's a disease. Well, look at your medical chart and talk to your doctor. Say, how healthy am I? Do I really think I have a disease? Well, maybe. You've got diabetes 2 down, you've got high blood pressure, you have acid reflux, you know, you have some damaged cardiovascular problems. I think you do have a problem. When do you want change? Well, I'll change tomorrow. That's always the answer tomorrow. Like the addict. You go up to a drug addict and you say, hey, are you going to pay your bill today? Guess what the addict will say? No. You want to pay it next week?
Yep.
When do you want to start getting absent? Oh, tomorrow.
Don't you want to do it today?
Oh, no.
I got to pay the bill. I have a dinner engagement. You don't understand.
I want to be willing to change. I have to change in my brain. It's not the thought that go into my brain that I'm responsible for. It's the one that I entertain and I look at. And those are the ones that make me crazy. You have to focus on negative. And I've said it before. I belong to the special high-intensity thinker club, otherwise known as SHIT. Remember that acronym. Special high-intensity. Everything's a problem. You don't understand. Oh, you don't know. You don't know my family. Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I have to be willing. Like I said, I desire a cheeseburger. But am I willing to go get it? I don't know about that one. That means I gotta get in my car, gotta go drive, what if I lose my spot? You know. So, let's rewind the tape and I'll shut up after a minute. Having an open mindness, having to be willing, just willing to let that little crack open, because what you're hearing today is nothing new. I'm really, what I'm telling you, it's been said before. I am not original. But the key is, I'm an echo from the past. Are you willing to listen today? Having an open mind to perhaps be teachable. To perhaps say, you may be right. To perhaps say, I want to try. To perhaps say, just for today, I will walk this path that so this happy God has made for me, just for today. Tomorrow's another day. Just for today. I won't hurt myself. I won't hurt others. I will be willing to trust and live a life of honesty, but honesty not at your expense, at my expense. I will live a life of hope, knowing that I will be taken care of because I have faith. And when a problem shows up, I know that I have courage because I know this happy God is right behind me. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool. You got my vote. I'll go for it. Give me a happy thought anytime. So, great working for you. Fire your God. You know, screw you. I've had enough of you. All I'm doing is killing myself. Get rid of him. Oh, but you don't believe I'm going to a church. You know, I go to a temple. That's fine. Go keep working on it. If we do the same thing, expecting different results, is what? Hey, I'm cooking for purple puffs, man. Yeah. And I remember my first wife, she would say, well, no, you know, now you're wearing a size 42. I said, yeah, but as long as it fits, it's fine. That was my thought. Well, you know, now you're size 46, and I can't find your clothes anymore, so I know you've got to go somewhere else. Yeah, but as long as it fits. So I discovered stretch pants. That's so cool. I never sweated. Because they didn't work. I bought the sweats, but they never sweat. Right on the chest. You know what? I wore them. So this is my garb. T-shirt, sweats, and sneakers. That's it. As long as it fits, I'm fine. And tugging always on the shirts. Tugging, don't get close to my body. Tugging on. So, having these things, you have the courage, you develop an integrity. Yes means yes, no means no. And you know what I said it before? It's easier to eat crow when it's warm than when it's cold. So when I make a mistake, I promptly go back and I say, I am so sorry. No, I am sorry because I want to clean my side of the street. See what I mean? Regardless of what they said, I am sorry. So let me eat that crow now. That gives me integrity. You know, when my boss asks me something, I say, I don't know. I'm not afraid to say anymore. That's giving me integrity. So your willingness. Now, here's the one thing. You guys gave me your willingness. And you guys gave me this part here. I owe it all to you. It wasn't me. It was you. You guys gave me the willingness to change. You guys. I was ready to hear it. And I said, you know, comparing all the shit that's going in my life, dying or living, you know what I mean? What would you choose? Well, I think I want to live. You guys gave me that. We are compulsive overeaters, lack self-discipline. We don't like to be disciplined because we know it all. We got our shit together. Now, the thing with the self-discipline, if we were to treat people the way we treat ourselves, we would be arrested. We love others more than we love ourselves. Love. I never understood that one. Love. Love, love. What is that? What is it? I don't know. What is love? I don't know what love is. Or is it a feeling? Maybe it's a feeling. But how about if it's an action? Yeah. I may not like all of you. I don't like a lot of you. You know what? I don't know you guys. And it's okay. Because I am a compulsive overeater and I belong to you guys. See what I mean? You guys always love me no matter what. Perseverance. I know a woman, she says, I've never done anything wrong. My pregnancies were never 9 months. Mm-hmm. I never persevered in anything. So one day I got up and I was sharing. I said, tell us, Dad, what about your program? I said, well, you know, I think I may be hormonal. I should have never said that. And all the ladies stood up. What did he just say? Well, it sounded good before until I said it. You see, you've got to understand, I always attributed my obesity to everybody else's problem. Well, see, you don't understand. I'm on a diet. I'm on a seafood diet. Everything I see, I ate it.
Yeah.
I mean, so let's go back to the basics. Less calories, you lose weight. The problem is, more people come up. Let's be honest. That's what it says over there, honesty. I am where I am today. I am 90% of the problem in my life. 90%. The rest of it has nothing to do with me. I cause my up. You know why? Because I think too much. I know too much. I would rather be happy today than correct and miserable. Do you know how many years I slept on the sofa being correct? I'll show her. Slept on the sofa. Damn sofa small, my feet sticking out like that. When I could be in bed with a warm body. Oh, no, but I was right. That was my attitude. I stand here grateful to you guys. Because you guys gave me the willingness to change. Gave me the willingness to do action. You guys loved me. And I've been around for a long time. And I'd be dead by now. And you guys gave me this life I have. It's a beautiful life. It's not perfect, but it is a beautiful life. It's beautiful to walk around with no pain. It's really great to watch people, they look at you and say, wow, you've lost, you've changed. I'll tell you what, when I lost all this weight, I invited my daughter-in-law and my granddaughters to come to have lunch with me. So I'm standing outside waiting for them. They passed right by me. They were looking for a 400-pound man. I said, hey, Becky, over here.
She turns around and says,
yeah? It's me! You! See, that's where the family goes crazy. They say, how did it possibly change? You ever do something so I want to go on a food plan and everybody else is sabotaging you? Here. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to God and life, we will always be tested for where the weak is. We will always be tested for where the weak is. So whether it's a friend, or food, or drug, or whatever, we're going to be tested in that area. And when we react, that's our weakness. And until we learn that lesson, it will always be a weakness. And we'll be tested there. For today, I want to trust God because I have a happy God. For today, I want to walk this path He's given me. For today, I want to trust all these processes that are here are for my own good. For today, I will accept that change is good. For today, I will accept that being willingness will give me the action to recover. Recover what? to get back what God wanted from me from the beginning. From the beginning, 55 years ago. Thank you so much.